It is the State Capitol Report on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. A new study crunches numbers and provides economic modeling on what a lower income tax rate would mean for Wisconsin. The report presents economic analysis on moving to a flat tax, something that is being tossed around by Republican lawmakers. Call in with your questions about the revenue repercussions of a flat tax rate, how you think it would affect households, businesses, industry. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Kim Rule is an economics professor at UW-Madison and co-director of the Center for Research on the Wisconsin Economy, co-author of this study. Kim, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. So some of the most intense political fights are over taxation. How much do income tax rates affect the economy?
Sure. So I think it's important to note that both the governor and the legislature want tax reform. Both sides think this is a good idea and something that's right for Wisconsin. The question is sort of which tax reform and how to do it and over what time period. And so what this report sort of seeks to fill is we look at a bunch of tax rates. So there's been a focus on the flat tax because that's what's been suggested by the legislature. There's a middle tax cut that the governor suggested. We actually look at 12 different tax policies, all of them which involve some type of reduction, whether it's to a flat tax or changing how brackets work or changing the slope of the tax function across those brackets. And we find largely that any tax rate decrease is going to be good for Wisconsin. It's going to be good for consumers. It's going to be good for businesses. And then what we try to do is then apply some economic theory to try to come up with a better measurement of exactly how big those numbers would be.
Is there a sweet spot, if you will? Is there a rate that would be best for the economy when you consider these 12 policies?
So in general, bigger tax cuts have larger effects on the economy in several ways. So let me maybe just talk about a couple of them. When we think about lowering a tax, you think about the direct effect of the tax. So if you were one of the persons who's having their tax lowered, then that's sort of the direct effect. For the same number of hours worked, for the same wage, you get to take home more of that income. So you have more money to spend on either consuming or for saving for later. And that, you know, that's sort of the direct effect I think we all kind of understand because we all look at our paychecks every week and say, okay, that's how much money I have and that's how much the government has from that. The second indirect effect, which is the one that I think economic theory has more to talk about, is this indirect effect that comes through by giving consumers more income, by giving firms a bigger investment to invest in more production, more workers, that grows the entire size of the economy. So there's this indirect, in economics, we call it the general equilibrium effect, that tends to raise wages, raise investment, make the economy bigger and more efficient. And that kind of helps everybody, regardless of whether your particular tax was lowered or not. And so that's kind of what we're trying to, that's sort of that second effect that's harder to measure that we're adding in terms of what a lot of the other, in terms of like what the other analysis has done. If you want to start talking about sweet spots, this is something that we don't address in this report because it's a more complicated issue that as a society we have to decide. And that's that governments do two things. They collect revenue and they provide government goods and services. And you need revenue to provide goods and services. And so lowering taxes does lower revenue. There's nothing magic about a tax cut that somehow, you know, self-funds. Wisconsin already has tax rates that are low enough. We're not in that situation. And so there will be decreases in revenue, and maybe we can talk about that a bit more, how that works. And so then we have to decide, you know, what level of government consumption do we want? And the harder question is, what do you want to spend that revenue on? And then we can balance off increasing the efficiency of the economy and making the total economy bigger by decreasing the inefficiencies caused by taxes and balance that off with the government services and goods that households value.
What can economists like yourself agree upon, though, that is sustainable tax policy that won't burden future generations with, you know, being put in a really tough spot in not having enough cash to sustain their communities?
So that depends a lot on that other side of the equation that I was just discussing, on spending. And so this has to be sort of a two-pronged approach. We're kind of talking about one part, right? We're talking about how do changing taxes, for example, by lowering income taxes, we actually increase the amount of tax collections from things like sales taxes and corporate income taxes. Right? So just lowering taxes doesn't have a one-for-one trade-off with total tax revenue. So by making a bigger economy, people consume more, firms earn bigger profits. Those all go back into taxes. And then some of that is offsetting the decrease in the personal income tax revenues that are collected. That what you're talking about, that kind of how are we going to look 10 years from now, depends as much on spending
or 20
as it
or
does
30
on taxes.
Or yes.
20 or 30, mm-hmm. certainly. And, you know, it's also worth noting that any kind of policy, particularly things like tax policies, you can expect things to take 10 years before the all of the adjustments to those things have happened. So even if we change tax policy today, it takes time for these things to happen, even if we change it tomorrow.
Well, considering, you know, Wisconsin's historical tax policy, the progressive tax structure has been around for over a century. Do we fully understand what the implications would be if we moved away from a progressive tax structure and went to a flat tax?
So, okay, if you'd like to, yeah, we can talk about the flat tax a bit. You know, is one thing we can do is we can look at other states. So there are in some around 13 states or so that already have flat taxes, including our neighbors, Illinois, Indiana, and Michigan. Really, Minnesota is the only other neighbor of ours that has a graduated tax system, and their highest income tax rates are even higher than they are in Wisconsin. And so, you know, this is an experiment that's been tried, we can look at those states and see that to the large extent they're doing fine. Again, any kind of tax policy requires an adjustment in revenues typically, and so, you know, a flat tax is just a different type of tax system.
And when you say they're doing fine, you know, how fine by what standards? Like, you know, what does doing fine mean?
Well, Illinois is a bit different. They have some sort of different problems. But most of these states, every state to some extent has things that are going well and things that are going badly. But these are states that tend to be low tax states that have in migration, that have lower distorted economies, that are growing. And that's not to say those things aren't happening in Wisconsin, but that idea is to try to move to something that's even better, right? We can constantly be trying to improve the way that we tax households and businesses.
What would happen in a flat tax economy, a flat tax system, when the next recession hits?
The same thing that we could do if we had a graduated income tax system. We could deal with it on the spending side, or we could do with it on the tax side. There's nothing about a progressive tax system or a graduated tax system that somehow magically makes recessions better. We can adjust tax rates, which in general is not a great solution. You know, decreasing and increasing tax rates every time the economy changes introduces a lot of uncertainty into household and business decision making, and so keeping tax rates relatively stable is an important part. You know, we would handle a recession just like we've handled previous recessions. We would work on spending. We would look for other ways to tighten the budget while we waited for the next expansion to come. And there's nothing kind of special about a flat tax that changes any of that.
Talking about income taxes, a new report from the Center for Research on the Wisconsin Economy. Kim Rule is a professor of economics at UW-Madison. You can join in with your questions and comments about Wisconsin's tax structure, where you want it to go. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Kim, your study shows a flat tax rate of 3.25% would result in a reduction in state revenue, as you've mentioned. And the Legislative Fiscal Bureau estimates a flat tax of 3.25% would decrease state revenue by more than $5 billion a year. Starting in 2026, your estimate is about $4 billion. Why is there that big of a difference?
Yeah, so that goes back to a very fundamental difference between what we're doing and what the Legislative Fiscal Bureau is doing. And the important difference here relative to what they're doing is that we're taking into account the behavioral responses of a tax change. And so the LFB is operating sort of as in an accounting sense. If this is what the tax base was before, we lower tax rates, the tax base stays the same. This is how much less income tax we collect, how much less tax we collect. What economic theory tells us, and this is very standard Econ 101 theory here. This is things that have been part of the economics kind of toolkit for 100 years. Tells us that as we lower taxes, people respond to those changes. I think we all kind of understand that taxes incentivize or disincentivize to do things. And so lowering a tax says people may go out and acquire more skills. And so they raise their income because the return on having those skills is higher because the government's taking a smaller portion of your income. Part of what income taxes hit are pass-through businesses. So these are firms. Those firms now invest more. And so lowering taxes creates higher wages, more output. Those higher outputs require more consumption, higher corporate profits, and those generate more tax revenues. So it's that behavioral response that we're modeling, how households and businesses respond to a change in a lower tax rate that offsets some of the direct effect of the lower taxes. And so the LFB doesn't take those things into account. And so that's why our number ends up being smaller. You know, the drop in revenue is smaller because we have more economic activity. The pie is growing. So even though we're taking a smaller slice of the pie, that bigger pie means that revenue doesn't fall as much as it does relative to the LFB's numbers.
Let's bring on a call. Michael in Milwaukee. Michael, hi. What is your question?
Hi. With regards to a flat tax, as I understand it, it will disproportionately affect lower and middle income families, because if they're paying the same tax rate as someone of a higher income bracket, they will have a lower total portion of their spendable income available to them. I just like that to be out there and people know it.
Michael, thank you so much for elevating that. Kim, what is your response there, affecting lower income people much more than people at the top of the tax bracket?
Yeah, so in general, that's kind of true. And so I think what we have to think about is there are other ways besides the tax system to relieve tax burdens, besides the individual income tax, to relieve tax burdens on lower income households.
Like what?
Lower income households. Yeah. So, for example, things like the Wisconsin version of an earned income tax credit or other refundable tax credits to low income households. And the reason that's preferable, what economic theory would say is, I want to lower the marginal distortions. An income tax rate like this distorts people's decisions, and I want to lower those distortions as much as possible. If I want to then do some redistribution, if I want to lower or raise the after-tax income of lower income or middle income families, I can do that through a system of tax credits that's less distortionary, that doesn't require me distorting everybody in the whole economy just because I want to do some redistribution to lower income households.
But if you have lower revenue, if you've got lower revenue coming into the state, I mean, who's going to float more tax credits?
So you have to prioritize, just like any household or any family budget. You have to decide what you want to spend money on and what's worth it. So maybe we want to do more subsidization of lower income households, then that comes from somewhere else. Just like any other household would have to do, you have to decide on what your spending priorities are. There's always an unlimited demand for government expenditure. And the hard thing that economists have to tell people is, there is no free lunch. To give something to someone, you're taking it away from somebody else, and that's fine. That's part of the social contract we're signing. But that's a decision that we have to come to. Economic theory can tell us a bit about that, but in the end, as a society, we have to decide how much of that redistribution we want. As economists, we can tell you the most efficient way to do it, which is to keep taxes low and on a broad base, and then we can use other instruments to redistribute.
Kim Rule is co-director of the Center for Research on the Wisconsin Economy at UW-Madison, explaining their new study identifying a dozen income tax policies to energize the state's economic outlook. Call in with questions and comments about tax policies in Wisconsin, what you would think would be a boon to Wisconsin's overall prosperity. 800-642-1234. It's the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is the State Capitol Report on the Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We break down a study from UW-Madison's Center for Research on the Wisconsin Economy that puts forth a dozen policies to lower the state's individual income tax rates, makes a case for the flat tax that we've been talking about. UW-Madison economics professor Kim Rule is a study co-author and stays with us. Let's bring on a call now, Elizabeth in Ellison Bay. Hi, Elizabeth. Go ahead.
Hi. Wow, is this regressive. Really troubling. So I just want to bring up that it seems like if the driver is to increase spending, there's other ways to increase spending that would, and by the way, I don't think that spending is the holy grail, but if we're going to increase spending, there's other options. So instead of telling the people with the least to tighten their belts so that the people with more can spend more, another option is to increase the minimum wage. Rising tide raises all ships. And then we've got everybody with more in their pocket, including the people with the least. You're pulling away from the people with the least to give more spending opportunity to the people with the most. I'm just completely shocked that this is coming out of Madison, but go ahead and respond.
Elizabeth, thank you. Kim, go ahead.
Sure. So I didn't say that low-income people should tighten their belt. I said that the state of Wisconsin has to maybe tighten their belt and think about their whole budget, not just the transfers that we make to low-income people. But, you know, in general, a flat tax is still a tax cut for low-income households. So it's not that we're making life harder for the low income. We're trying to make the economy bigger. In terms of minimum wages, at least here in Madison, the minimum wage doesn't matter anymore. The minimum wage has been surpassed by low wage kind of occupations. You know, food service is already paying much more than the minimum wage. So you need a minimum wage.
Is that universally true, though?
You know, it's a market by market thing. But in general, in most places in 2022, 2023, it is. The federal minimum wage, you know, different states have different minimum wages, but the federal minimum wage is most likely not binding in most places. And in Wisconsin, in Madison for sure, it's not. And so minimum wages as a policy, again, generates a bunch more distortions, in particular distortions for people who are on the who are earning those low wage jobs, right? That makes it harder to hire someone. So the people who have jobs end up with higher incomes, but then the people who don't get those jobs because those minimum wages are too high now don't have jobs at all. And so, you know, minimum wages are kind of an insider outsider kind of policy. And as I mentioned before, there's nothing that says cutting tax rates doesn't mean that we can't redistribute across the income distribution, right? It just says that we've made the economy a little bit bigger and that we have a little bit less tax revenue and we have to decide, you know, how we want to spend that revenue. There's nothing that says we can't spend that on transfers to low-income people. It just means we have to not spend money on something else.
Let's to just take a moment here with insight from the Wisconsin Policy Forum. Jason Stein and WPR Central Time recently talking about the potential effects on revenue if Wisconsin had a flat tax.
Right now, the break-even point for a revenue-neutral flat tax is about 5.2%, the tax rate. You know, that would be, you know, a tax increase for people at the, you know, or for income at the lower parts of the current brackets.
So based on your research, would a 5.2% flat tax rate be revenue neutral?
We haven't done that experiment. Revenue neutral wasn't something that, that we were studying, but just from what I know about our model, might be even a little bit higher than that. So yes, a revenue neutral flat tax would be in the fives most likely, which would be a tax increase for lower income people, which I think is something nobody wants and not something that we're suggesting is a good idea. And so that's why, you know, we say this is gonna, if we wanna move to a lower income tax rates, whether that's a flat tax or still a graduated tax, but perhaps something that with a sort of lower or collapsing brackets to provide some tax relief to people, there's gonna be a decrease in tax revenue no matter what you do. And the decisions we have to make then around the spending side.
Kim Rule, professor of economics at UW-Madison. Let's go back to the phones now with Rosa. Oh, I'm sorry. Rosa is not there. What about Martha in Menominee? Martha, hi.
Yeah, hi. Our neighbor, Michigan, brought in $246 million in cannabis tax revenue from cannabis sales. Your guest said it would take 10 years to implement a change in this tax policy. Would it take 10 years to implement that type of income from legalized cannabis sales?
Martha, thank you. Kim.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, so likely not. If the legislature was to legalize cannabis in some form and tax it, the initial effects would likely show up pretty quickly. Then there would be long-term effects that, again, this is generating either more tax revenue, more investment in the economy, people building retail outlets and production facilities. Those kinds of things take longer, but you would see a faster increase in tax revenues from something like that.
Martha, thank you for the call. Kim, what data are you most closely watching in flat tax states like Michigan, Illinois, like Indiana, as you examine tax policy going forward?
I'm looking at, it's complicated because there are lots of things that are changing at once. And that's part of what makes our job difficult. And that's why we use models to try to help us isolate particular mechanisms and reasons why we think changing taxes have effects on economies. But in general, I'm looking at things like what's happening to after-tax revenue, what's happening to consumption growth, what's happening to investment in economies. And, and not just for flat tax states, but for lower tax states or lower tax than Wisconsin, I'm thinking about migration. And I'm interested in, Wisconsin has a long-term issue in employment markets, which is we have falling birth rates and we have minimal in-migration. And so the labor force in Wisconsin is, in the long term, is shrinking. And that's going to cause problems with generating business investment and future growth. There's lots of things that influence migration decisions, but just to look across the data, lower tax places seem to have more in-migration right now.
Thank you so much for joining us. Kim Rule, professor of economics at UW-Madison, co-director of the Center for Research on the Wisconsin Economy. We have a link to their study at wpr.org/mornings. It's the State Capital Report. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.